Bezat Hashem Yitbarach, we're going to be doing our weekly parasha summary. We're in Parashat Vayetze, in the book of Bereshit. And Bezat Hashem, Yaakov Avinu, now that he is a target from his brother Esav, his parents told him to leave and to go to their family's house and to get a wife. And Yaakov's on his way out of Eretz Yisrael. He leaves from Be'er Sheva, and he goes Charana. Before we even get into the summary, a little gem from Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says, Yaakov, that's the Isha Israeli, the Jewish person. And when you go out of Be'er Sheva, when you leave out of the levels of holiness of the Be'er Sheva, the seven steps, because each midah is made up of seven, you have to go through Charan. You have to be tested, and you have to go through all of the hard parts. The klipa wakes up on a person when they want to grow. The opposing forces come against the person when they want to grow. And it's just known, we have to know what happened to our forefathers happens to us. Yaakov went out of Be'er Sheva. He had to go through Charan. That's it. He was trying to complete himself. He was trying to become whole. It comes with opposition. It comes with tests. Ve'ifga b'makom v'yalin sham kiva shemesh. He hit this place. What is the place? The place is Harabait. Harabait in Yerushalayim. He laid down there because the sun was coming down. And he took Ma'avnei HaMakom, he took from the stones of the place. Vayasem Rashotav, Vayishkav B'Makom Ahu. He laid down and he put all the stones, he took multiple stones together, made them as his bed, his pillow, and he laid in that place. Yesh Kaf Bet B'Makom Ahu. There is 22 in that place. You could read it that way. There is 22, that the source of all of creation, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet that Hashem used to create all of this world and keep the world sustained, all are rooted and come out of this place. That is where Yaakov slept, which is Betel, which is Yerushalayim, Harabait, Ve'achalom, V'ine Sulam Utzav, Arza, V'Rosho, Magia, Shamayma, V'ine Melachei Elohim, Olim V'Yordim Bo. There's many different secrets about Jacob's ladder, Sulam Yaakov. It is rooted in the ground, its heaven, its head reaches up to the heavens, his angels are ascending and descending on it. Some say that Yaakov saw all of the exiles going up and down, that they went up and they took power against Israel and they went down. But he couldn't see how Rome would come down, how Edom, this last exile, couldn't see how it came down. It's so intense. But that too, it also happens. It will come down. Mizat Hashem, Am Yisrael will rise. And Hashem reveals Himself to Yaakov in this place. For Abraham, this was a har, this was a mountain. For Yitzchak, it was a sade, it was a field. And for Yaakov Avinu, it's a bait, it's a house, Beit Elohim. It's the house of Hashem. Shara Shamayim. The gates of the heaven. And this is where the name Har Abayit comes from. Har Abayit. It's a Har for Abraham, and it was a Bayit for Yaakov. Rabbi Eliyahu teaches that, so too, this is a way to look at this world. That this world is like a mountain. How much you have to work, how much you have to climb, and always push yourself to keep on going. You're on a journey up a mountain. But it's all in order to get to the world to come, which is like a home, the bayit, that you can relax there and you rest there and bask in the holiness and the greatness and the radiance of the lights of Hashem. So yeah, in this world it's like a mountain. We have to work very hard and we have to keep on climbing, keep on going. We have to prepare it with the right tools, the right endurance and stamina. Whereas the world to come, once you already get there, it's a house. You know the place. You can walk around it with your eyes closed. You're in your comfort zone. You don't have to work as much. So Yaakov Avinu gets to this place, which is the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem does a miracle and makes the sun come down before its time to force Yaakov to pray. Right? Avram woke up in the morning and went to this mountain. Yitzchak went out in the afternoon to talk to Hashem in the field. And Yaakov got there during the day. Hashem made the sun set, so there would be nighttime and he would be forced to pray. And this was the institution of Arvit, of the evening prayer. And then he had to sleep there because it was so dark. And there's animals and all these different negative forces out there at night. So he put these rocks around his head and he's laid down there to sleep. And in that night, he had a dream and he sees a ladder, that this ladder is rooted down here in the earth, but its head reaches up to the heavens. And he sees that there's these angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. Here in our Torah Bura that we're using from Rabbi Shimon Abuchatzira, in the summaries on the parasha, says the Chazal explained that these malachim, these angels, the angels that escorted him, and they were ascending and descending from the firmament, from the heavens. They saw the name of the face of Yaakov engraved on the Kisei HaKavod, on the throne of glory, and they were so blown away, so taken back. And they come back down to see, look, it's the same person. The one that's laying down here is the same face of the person that represents man on the Kisei HaKavod. It's known that the throne of glory of Hashem, what's called Kisei HaKavod, has four animals on it. It has an eagle, a shor, an ox, a lion, and man. And the man that's on there, the image of it, is Yaakov Avinu. And Hashem reveals himself to Yaakov and says, "And I am the God of your forefathers, God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and I'm coming to tell you that the land that you're laying on it, it's yours. I'm going to give it to you and to your offspring. And your children will be like the dust of the earth and the stars in the sky, too much to count. And you will spread out to the four corners of the whole entire world. And I will keep what I told your parents, what I told them that I was going to do for them. I'm going to keep that promise." Yaakov wakes up and is completely startled and blown away to know that Hashem is in such a place. And he says, "If I would have known that this was such a good place, it was a holy place, I wouldn't sleep here." And he understands that this is the place of the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash, the Bayit, that everybody's going to come, that all of the souls are dependent on, that all of the places, even the low places, Hashem could be found there. It's all going to come together and gather in Jerusalem. So this is a place that's worthy to build a Mizbeach, to build an altar, to build the beginning of the Beit HaMikdash. And in the beginning it says that Yaakov Avinu took one stone and the stones started to fight. There's a midrash that the stones started to fight between them. Who's going to be able to have Yaakov rest his head on them? Everybody wants the tzaddik to be able to put his head on them to rest and to be able to serve. And all these stones are fighting, and Hashem made a miracle that they all came together. And Yaakov sanctified this Evan, this stone, that it would be a matzevah, an altar, and he poured oil all over it. And this place was called Luz at the time. Yaakov called the place Beit El. So the city of Yerushalayim at the time was called Luz. And Yaakov decided to name it Beit El, the house of God. Then Yaakov made a promise that if Hashem protects him on his journeys from all the bad people, and he gives him food to eat and clothing to wear, and he won't be poor, and he won't be, you know, people that don't have money, it's much harder to serve Hashem. It's much harder to be connected to Hashem. Yaakov didn't want to have that situation, so please make sure that I'm taken care of. And he'll come back in peace, without any sins, and come back to his house, to his father's house, and his mother's house. And Hashem's name will be on him. These are all the things that Yaakov is asking from Hashem. And if so, then this stone that I'm dedicating now, Yaakov says, will be the altar inside the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, and of Alam Yisrael, all of Yisrael will gather to pray to Hashem from this point, which is essentially the Beit HaMikdash. So Hashem, protect me, and I'll make sure that everybody knows of your name, all my children will come together to pray here towards you. And then Yaakov says also that everything he earns, he will give ma'aser. This is the root of ma'aser in the Torah, what's called a tithe, that whatever you earn, 10% of your profits, you give towards Torah, towards charity, towards good things in the world, good causes. It's a blessed practice to do. And it's highly, highly recommended to find a place that you learn Torah from, or that you know is teaching Torah, or a place that is supporting orphans or widows, whatever it is, doing chesed in this world. And give 10% of your money away every month. It's a segula for wealth, for more blessings in your life. You're not meant to do this if you're in too much debt. But if you have an income, it's definitely a place that you can test Hashem. It's one of the few things probably the only thing that the Torah tells us outright, Bachanuni Bezot. You can test me on this. If a person wants to see more blessing in their life, to make a commitment to give your 10% away to a righteous cause and a good place, and Bezat Hashem, you will see blessing in your life. We're accepting any donations if you want. Just gotta put that out there. So Yaakov makes his promise that he's going to give away his ma'aser. And he feels protected by all the blessings of Hashem. And he picks up his feet and he goes towards the east. On his way he sees Ber Maim. He sees this well of water. That from there they start to obviously water all of the flocks and the sheep. And there's this big, big, big rock on top of the bear, on top of the well. And the situation then was that many, many shepherds would come together, and together they would all push this rock off of the well. And then they would start to bring water out, draw water for all of their sheep and their flock, their cattle. Yaakov asked them, "Where are you all from?" They said, "From Haran." He says, "Do you know Lavan, the son of Nachor?" They said, "Of course we know him." And he said, "What's up with him? What's his deal?" He said, "He's good, he's very good." And while they're talking, all of a sudden, Rachel shows up, the daughter of Lavan. And he wants to get water. Yaakov was able to see that these shepherds, these people that are working now with the flock, are taking a little bit of a break and messing around. And he starts to tell them, the day's long, you still have work to do. Get back to work, he's making sure that people aren't cheating again. Don't forget that Lavan is his family. And if these people are working for Lavan, and right now they're doing something that they shouldn't, he's already taking care of his family, making sure that they're getting back to work. And they tell him that they're waiting for more of them to come together, more shepherds to come together, so that they can get this stone off of the well. And as this is happening, Rachel's coming up to the well by with her flock, their father's sheep. She was a shepherdess. When Yaakov sees Rachel going up to the well by herself, he comes and he, by himself, lifts up the rock that's on top of the bear with ease, with complete ease. Yaakov moves this huge rock. And Chazal says, like a person, he removed it like a person removes a bottle cap off of a bottle. That's how quick and easy it was for him. And that was the whole intention was to help Rachel to water the tzon, the flock, and the sheep, and the herd of Lavan. What is this rock, and what is the well? The well of water, the Ber Maim Chaim, that's the Torah. And the rock on top of it, that's our heart. We have to make sure in life that we get rid of our heart of rock, this heart that doesn't let anything in and doesn't let anything out, this heart that's always in a bad place and feeling too much of the pain and feeling too much of the sorrow of this world, which doesn't even allow the water of Ber Mayim Chaim to come in. The water of the Torah that has the power to heal. You can't do anything if you have a rock on top of your heart. And this is Yaakov. Yaakov comes, you can say Yaakov we know is the name of humility. That humility, you need humility in order to be able to remove this rock of blockedness, of obstacles from the heart, and to be able to receive the water out of there, from the Torah. Yaakov goes up to Rachel and kisses her, and he lets out a cry because he sees with Ruach HaKodesh that Rachel won't be buried with him in Marat HaMachpelah, rather she's going to be buried on the path. She's not going to be able to be buried with him. Yaakov presents himself that he is the son of Rivka, and that essentially they're cousins. Rachel runs back to tell her father about this guest that they have. And when Lavan hears that Yaakov, his nephew, got here, he runs in order to make sure that he brought a lot of gifts, like Eliezer, the son of Abraham, who came with tons of gifts and came with things. Lavan immediately, we see, what's his intention? Where's the money? Where's the reward? And when he sees that he has nothing, so then he hugs him. He says, maybe he's hiding all the gold in his belongings, in his bag, underneath his clothing. And when he sees he has nothing, so then he kissed him. And why do you want to kiss him? He says, let me kiss you and touch your cheeks, because maybe there's gold and diamonds hidden inside of there. And when he didn't see anything, so then he left the house. I'm sorry, he sees that he left the house, he was running away. He was running away from Esav. He wasn't able to bring anything with him. He was in a rush. He had to leave. So Lavan says to Yaakov, since you are from our family, you can come to my house for a month. Such a nice guy. And he stays in his house, but he doesn't want it for free. So he offers to work as a shepherd for Lavan. And Lavan says to Yaakov, you're my family, so I can't have you working for free. What's your wages? How much do you need? Lavan had two daughters. The older one was named Leah, and the younger was named Rachel. And Leah's eyes were very, very soft because she cried a lot. She would always cry because they always said that these two daughters of Lavan have to get married to the two sons of Rivka. And the oldest goes with the oldest. And the oldest girl was Leah. And the oldest son was Esav. So she always used to cry. She didn't want to get married to Esav. And Rachel, she was beautiful in her face, soft, fair face, beautiful inside and outside. She had a clear skin, pure skin. Rachel and Leah, the Arizal says, are the roots of all the souls of Am Yisrael. You have some souls that align with Rachel more and some souls that align with Leah more. The Rachel souls are the people that focus on the inner aspects and the inner beauty of revealing God's light down here in this world. Whereas Leah souls are more focused about the work that we have to do in here and the externalities and the intellect and less on the emotional side and the inner side. What is going on in this world? How do we do actions that reveal God, and they're more involved in the process and the nitty-gritty, whereas the souls of Rachel, they're more invested in the meditative, emotional side of finding the light of Hashem. And the goal is to balance both of them. If anybody wants to learn more about this, there is a playlist on my channel called Rachel and Leah with immense depth in there. So check it out. Third Aliyah, Yaakov ahav et Rachel v'bikesh otah li'isha milavan kitmua l'avodato. Yaakov says, what's my salary? I want your daughter Rachel. I want your daughter Rachel. And he agrees. And Yaakov agrees to work for 7 years in order to receive Rachel. And he makes sure to say, Rachel, the younger one. To be very precise of which daughter he's talking about. And he knew that Laban was a cheat. And he could very well change the girls and cheat him. Immediately, Laban agrees. He says, it's better to give to my family than to give to some random person. And he says, please then, if that's the case, then stay here in our camp, live with us. Yaakov begins his 7 years of working, and from such love for Rachel, these days were ka'achadim. This is a secret too that we have to learn in life when we're excited about what we're doing, when we're happy. The time flies, the time passes. Even if it's hard work and you're working in a bad situation, but you're working towards a goal that you're in love with and it's all good, so the days are like achadim. It happens as if it's all just one day. And after 7 years of working, Yaakov asks for Rachel from Laban to get married as a wife. Laban gets all the people together and he wants to make a wedding. And in the night of the wedding, Laban brings underneath the chuppah Leah and not Rachel. And in the morning, Yaakov sees that Laban switched the daughters. And Yaakov knew that this might happen, so he gave signs. He told Rachel, this is our password, and we know when we're going to be together that this is only between us to make sure that I know it's you. And the simanim were the siman, the password, Chazal tells us, was the word china. China is chala. Chala, right? That the woman has to, when she's making bread, she has to separate a portion for the temple. The noon was ner, that you have to light candles in Shabbat and the Chagim. The wife gets this special obligation once she gets married. And there's also Nida. Nida also is another sign. Rachel sees that Leah is going to get switched with her, and it's against her will, but she doesn't want her sister to get embarrassed. She told her all of the signs. So Yaakov asks, Laban, what did you do? What's going on here? I worked for Rachel, not for Leah. Why did you cheat me? And Laban answers, it's not our minag here that the younger daughter gets married before the older daughter. And he asks, and he adds on, and he says, if you work for another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel straight away after 7 days. You have your Sheva Brachot, your 7 days of wedding with Leah, and immediately you'll get Rachel. People misunderstand the story a lot, and they think that Yaakov worked 7 years, got one wife, worked another 7 years, and got another wife. No, he worked 7 years, got one wife, 7 days later he got Rachel. But he had to work for another 7 years after that. And Yaakov, because he loved Rachel so much, he agrees. And it says that he loved her more than Leah. So he works. Laban gives him also maidservants, Bilhah and Zilpah. Leah gives Zilpah to Rachel. Zilpah goes to Leah and Bilhah goes to Rachel. And these are also the four mothers that were married to Yaakov, and from them all the tribes come. And they are the letters Barzel. Barzel Ba'ab and Afsho. That we all have iron. We have Barzel in our blood. It's known how important it is to have iron in your blood system. And that Barzel is Bila, Rachel, Zilpa, and Leah, the four mothers that were married to Yaakov and gave birth to the 12 tribes. Hashem sees that Leah is, so to say, not loved as much, is hated, and he opens up her womb first, because Rachel was the main wife. She was a keret habayit. She's the main aspect. And Leah's path was looked down upon. If we go back to our mashal of the spiritual paths and the differences between the souls that the Arizal said, so according to the Biyam Darkecha, Rachel and Leah, so Leah's path is looked down upon. That's the path of making sure that you keep halacha, making sure that you do all of the vessels that are needed in this world in order to acquire the light. A lot of people look down on that path. They look down on that path and they're always trying to seek out high revelations and deep secrets, when really a lot of the main work is done and the fruit and the majority of the house of Israel was built by way of Leah and her children, by way of doing what's needed to be done, whether you feel like it or not. Leah had that first son and she names him Reuven. Hashem saw her troubles that she was going through emotionally. And she wasn't as loved. And you know, she was like, so to say, forced to get married to someone that didn't really want her. So he saw, and Natan ben, and gave a ben, Re'u ben. Hashem saw, and gave a son. And now, obviously, Yaakov will love her more because a son came out of her. Again, Leah gets pregnant, and she names her son Shimon. Because Hashem heard, right, that I was still hated and gave me another son. Again, she gets pregnant and she has a son named Levi. Now she has a lot of children. For sure, my husband will want to be mitlaveh, will escort to attach himself to me, and we'll go together. Chazal say, the woman had Ruach HaKodesh, and they knew that Yaakov is going to have 12 tribes. So now, if you have four women, and Leah has already had three, so that means she's done. And then she had, again, another child, and she names him Yehuda. This is where we get our name from as Jews. We come mainly from the tribe of Yehuda. And even if we didn't, if we're from the rest of the tribes of Israel, the kings of the Amisrael are only from the tribe of Yehuda. And he gets his name because Leah says, now that there's a fourth child, when I was really only meant to have three, Hapam Odeh. This time, I will give thanks and gratitude for the fact that I had another child. Echel gets embarrassed of all the good deeds of Leah. She has children and Rachel still hasn't. So she turns to Yaakov and she asks him, please pray. Please pray. And if not, meta anochi, it's like I'm dead. It's like it's not. What do I have here? If I don't have children, I might as well be dead. That's on the positive side. And Rachel wanting to fulfill her mission, and if I don't have the light of Hashem, then what's the whole entire point? But we have to know we have to push through that. On the negative side of it, the mistake on this, the klipa side of this, we see it also with Haman, Yimach Shimo. He says, Kozeh enino shoveli, that none of this is worth it for me if Mordechai won't bow down to me. Mordechai is also from the tribe of Binyamin. Binyamin comes from Rachel. We see this is also connected. We have to know, it's not about the lights that we have, that we do things, and we feel grateful. We have to be grateful regardless, whether we have the light or not. Yaakov gets upset at Rachel, and says to her, before I pray for you, you should have to start to pray for yourself. You're the one that's barren, and a person that's sick, their prayers for themselves work more. The person has to pray for themselves. We have to know this. Even if there's a big tzaddik, and people want to go seek out blessings from people, you have to pray for yourself. You have to have mercy on yourself as well as asking for others to have mercy on you. Rachel asks Yaakov that he should be with Bilah, her maidservant, and whatever child that comes out of them, that she will raise him. Bilhah gets pregnant, and Rachel calls the son Dan, that Hashem is Danota, that Hashem is judging her, and it also heard her prayers. Bilhah again has a son, and Rachel calls him Naphtali, that Hashem heard her prayers. Naphtali is also the letter is Tefillin. It's like the word Tefillah, connection and prayer to Hashem. It's also the geographical area of Tzfat, is in Shevet Naphtali, in the land of Naphtali. Leah sees that she's not having children anymore and asks Yaakov to marry Zilpah. Zilpah has a son. Leah calls him Gad because he came with Mazal Tov. It's a good Mazal. Zilpah again has another child, a son, and Leah calls him Asher, from the word Osher, wealth, and happiness. In the fourth Aliyah, Reuven sees that his mother Leah is upset that she can't have children anymore. And he goes out into the fields in the times of the Katsir, of the harvest, which is around May time, Sivan, the month of Sivan. And he wants to bring Dudaim. I don't know what Dudaim are called in English, but they are a plant that... Oh, it's jasmine. Rashi says in the language of Ishmael, it's called Yasmin. So jasmine. Jasmine has a zgula for women to get pregnant. He gives it to his mother. And Rachel sees them, and she asks for them. She sees that Reuven went to go get it for his mother, and she asks, Leah, can I have these dudaim? Can I have this jasmine? I want to get pregnant. And since it was the turn of Rachel that night, how was it that Yaakov was married to four women? We would take turns. Different night, different tent. And it was the turn for Yaakov to be with Rachel. And Leah answers her in a hard way and says, it's not enough that you're taking my husband tonight. You also want the dudaim that my son brought me. You also want this jasmine flowers. And Rachel says, if you give me the dudaim, I'll let Yaakov be with you again tonight. Look how much Rachel has given up already for this sister. Gave her the signs so she wouldn't get embarrassed. She's had all the children. Rachel just wants to have a child, ask for some flowers. It has to become an issue. And now she tells her, again, I'll give in. Just please give me the flowers. I'll give in. You can have them again tonight. Again, Yaakov comes back in from the field at night. Leah goes out to him and tells him that maybe tonight, you know, they'll be together. That she bought him. So to say, she's renting him from Rachel by way of the Dudaim that she gave her. Hashem hears the prayer of Leah, that she had this intention to increase the tribes, and she got pregnant again with a fifth child. And Leah calls him Issachar. That Hashem, so to say, gave me Sachar. Yesh Sachar. There is reward there. Because I gave Yaakov my wife, my maidservant as a wife, so he gave me a blessing. Leah gets pregnant again and calls him Zvulun, from the word chelek tov, a good point, a good portion. She gave birth to him. And now she's completed half of the tribes. Six of the tribes came out of her. And she must be now the main living tent of Yaakov. And after that, Leah again had a daughter, and she named her Dinah. Hashem remembered Rachel, heard her tefillot, and opened up her womb. Chazal says that, what did Hashem remember? He remembered that Rachel gave away all the signs to her sister on her way to the chuppah. And now he's giving her payback for all of that. But why is it now only after six children? Zilpah has two, Bilah has two, Leah has six. When Rachel asked for the Dudaim from Leah, she said, it's not enough that you took my husband. And Rachel, in a spontaneous way, should have answered, I took your husband, I gave him to you, by way of me revealing to you all the secrets, in order to not embarrass you. But Rachel also now didn't want to embarrass Leah, and she shut her mouth in the time of fight. This is an important rule to know. When a fight arouses, the number one way to get out of it is to be quiet. And also another rule that we learn in Rachel and Leah is that majority of the times you'll see that it's Leah that's chasing after Rachel. That it's the people of the Leah souls that are more used to the external world that want to go after the people that are attached to the inner world. Because it's very hard to prove the inner world. And it's very hard to see it too. So it's much easier to chase after it than to have opposition to it. The majority of the machlokot that you see throughout history, and even in our times, you'll see that it's the people of Leah that were chasing the people of Rachel. So, because of all of this, Rachel has such midot and is taking so much. She's remembered, and Hashem gives her the ability to have children. And she has her first son, and she names him Yosef. She says, Hashem Yosef li ben acher, that Hashem should add another child. I want more. And she's praying essentially that the last of the tribe should also come from her, because the next person that's going to be born will be the 12th son. And this also is something that we can learn. Rav Arush says that if you're really grateful of something and you really, really like it and you appreciate it, say thank you and ask for more. If it's really that good, you want more. When Yosef is born, Yaakov now feels strong and protected and certain, and he feels like he can separate himself from his father-in-law, Lavan, and he wants to go back to his father's house, to Yitzhak's house in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And he asks him, and his women and his children, says, I'm asking permission, I want to go. And Lavan says, if I found favor in your eyes, I know Hashem blessed me because of you. I know I got blessing because of you. The tzaddik, wherever he goes, brings blessing with him. So Lavan asks from Yaakov, Virut amalo uschao. Says, I want to know everything you've done. I want to know how much you've got. All of your books. Sign to pay taxes to Uncle Sam. I want to know what you're going through. What's been on here? And Yaakov tells him, you know how much I've worked. You know how much I've done. And you know how small your flock was when I arrived and how it's been tripled and quadrupled since I've been here. And thank you, Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Hashem has blessed you because of me. And now everything is yours. And he needs something though. Yaakov needs something for his family. He has to walk away with something. So Lavan wants to know, what can I give you? What can I give you after all of this? And Yaakov says, from you, nothing. Don't want anything from you. He says, go inside of your flock and we'll do a separation. Every sheep that has dots on it, right? These little small dots. And any sheep that has brown on it, brown like wool, Take those and put them on the side. Right? The choicest sheeps are all white. The ones that are spotted or the ones that are brown, separate them. And I'll continue to take care of the rest of all of the flock. And my reward will be that any of them that are born from here that have spots on them or are brown, they'll be mine. And therefore you'll know that I'm not taking anything from you. So he leaves Lavan with the Lavan. He leaves the white man with the white sheep. And he says, anything that has spots on it, anything that's brown, you give it to me. Anything that gets born that way, we'll know it's mine. This is a very important lesson as well. Yaakov did this with immense wisdom, and what he did essentially was change the way that they eat. And instead of them just eating on piles on the ground, he started to make this grid that has holes in it. So now the sheep has to come and put its snout inside the hole, and it's eating from a circle. And then later, when it goes to be with its wife and reproduce, so then that circle is still on its mind. And then that the sheep comes out with these circles. You have to know that this is extremely important. What you look at will affect the actions that you're doing afterwards. And especially important before we're with our spouses to purify our minds and to make sure that our minds are pure and clean and untainted. And when Lavan sees that Yaakov, what he's asking for is not that much, he's not really taking anything from him. It's something in the future. He says, I agree. And he says, I hope you agree and you don't regret it either. And immediately he goes, Lavan goes and he takes all of the spotted flock and all of the ones that are in brown colored, and he puts it in his kids' hands. He says, make sure that there's a separation here. 3 days distance in location of where they're being shepherded so that they don't get mixed up. And Yaakov continues to work on the sheep that are left over. Yaakov stands up, prays to Hashem. You give him blessing that from now, you'll get a lot of flock and a lot of sheep will be born. All of them, as many as possible, striped and spotted and with brown. And since Yaakov was an expert, so he took this tree that's called Livna. When it's red, when it's wet, it's like in the color of like a walnut, chestnut. And this is the spotted and the brown. And when the female sheep would see this, like we said, right, this was the effect that it had afterwards. And Yaakov made all of this flock of himself, like he learned, Nakod v'chom, spotted and brown. Everything he could, he separated. Anytime there was a spotted or brown sheep, he separated, and everything that was white, he left with Lavan. Hashem blessed Yaakov, and his flock got huge, not in a proportional way, not in a natural way, really, really a lot of sheep. And he would sell them for a lot of money, and buy maidservants and slaves and camels and donkeys. And Yaakov got very, very rich. The children of Lavan started to talk Lashon Hara to their father. And they had such jealousy that all of the wealth that Yaakov was getting, they're saying, it's from our father. It's not even his. He took it from our father. Yaakov sees that Lavan is accepting this Lashon Hara, this evil talk. And he already is not the same person. He's not treating him and he's not looking at him in the same way he did. He's no longer his son-in-law. So to say, it's becoming a problem. Hashem reveals himself to Yaakov and he says, it's time for you to go back home. It's time for you to go back home. Go back to your father's house. And that's where I'll be with you. Yaakov sends the call to Rachel and Leah, and he says to them, I see that your father's face has changed. He's not like with me, like he was in the past. And you know that I served your father with Mesivut Nefesh, with sacrifice for many, many, many years with all my might. And your father lied to me. All the time he lied to me. And he even changed my salary 10 different times. He cheated me 10 different ways. He messed with me. And Hashem, because of Hashem helping me, I didn't do anything to him. And I was able to be nice and I never did anything to harm him. And Yaakov explains the whole breakdown of the money. He says, you know, every time there was this back and forth and there was this argument, and now I came up with a plan that, like, for sure everything will be clean. Anything that's dotted, spotted, and brown is mine. And now he's regretting it. When we made the deal, he agreed, and now he's regretting it. But Hashem gave me the wisdom to make for myself my own flock. And know that the way that the fact that I asked for Nakod, the Chom, that I asked for them to be spotted and brown, I got that from a secret. An angel revealed it to me at nighttime. And the angel also told me that don't forget the promise you made on the way to here. That if you would be taken care of, and if you had food, and you had clothing, and all of that, and you made a matzevah, you made an altar in Yerushalayim, you said, everything I get, I'm going to give 10%. This is another thing that we need to learn. When we say something, we need to keep it. And if we say we're going to do something good towards the Torah, towards supporting, we have to keep our word. We have to keep our word. So now again, that angel came and also told me that it's time to go back. And Yaakov tells Rachel and Leah, it's time to pack up. We have to get going. Rachel and Leah says, we're not going to delay you. Either way, we're female. We're not going to inherit anything from Levan anyway. We're daughters. We're not sons. And it says that not only that, you didn't even give him any money to get us, you worked for us. And all the wealth that Hashem has blessed you with has nothing to do with us. Sorry, it has nothing to do with him, it all belongs to us. And so we can listen to Hashem's voice and we can just leave. Let's get out of here. Essentially, everybody's in agreement, it's time to break up with Lavan. Yaakov takes his sons and his daughters and his wives, and everything he has, all the money he has, everything, he's all the flock, all the sheep, and he starts to go to Yitzchak, his father. Levan goes and he wants to sheed the sheep that he separated 3 days away. And Rachel takes away his Avodah Zarah that were for his father in order to separate her father from Avodah Zarah. She pulled an Avram, right? He left the house. He has these, what's called, terafim. And she takes them. She takes them, she hides them. She doesn't want her father doing Avodah Zarah anymore. And these terafim essentially were little skulls. That Levan would ask questions, and these skulls would tell him different information. We also do this nowadays. In Hebrew and Aramaic, your skull is called your Gulgalta. And we all go on a website when we need questions answered called Google, Gulgalta, and we ask it questions, and we figure out information. So we have to question ourselves too, how much we're doing that. And this is the root of it. This is the root of it. The trafim of Levan. And Rachel didn't want him to be doing Avodah Zarah, so she took them. Yaakov hid the fact from Levan that he wanted to escape. And he ran away with the families and with all of everything that they had. And he started to go towards Har Gilad so he could be able to pray there. And on the third day, they told Lavan that Yaakov ran away. And Lavan asks for all of his people close to him to go chase after him. 7 days. And they got them in Hagilad. But Hashem came in the middle of the night in a dream to Lavan and told him that he shouldn't speak to Yaakov, not about good, but not even bad. Don't talk to him. Don't mess with him. So Lavan asks Yaakov, what did you do? Why didn't you tell me that you're leaving? Why didn't you tell me? We're family. And he says, you're treating my daughters like hostages. What is this? You're taking them prisoners of war. Why are you running away? And if you would have told me that you want to go, I would have sent you out with a whole entire festivity. I would have made a parade. I would have paraded you down with drums and music and bands. And you didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren, kiss my daughters goodbye. And Lavan says, I have the power to do bad things to you. Just know that. What kind of father, right? He wanted to kiss so bad. I have the ability to harm you, to affect you, to do damage. But just know, yesterday I got warned in a dream by Hashem that I'm not able to touch you. And I don't want to mess it. I want to honor it. And now I understand that you must have missed your father's house. You must be homesick. And you want to go back. But I don't understand. Why did you steal my Avodah Zarah? Why did you touch my idols? Because that has nothing to do with the fact that you want to go back to your father's house. Why are you stealing from me? And Yaakov answers him on the first question. He says, Lo dati, I didn't make it known, because I said, maybe you're going to steal your daughters back from me. And on your second question, I'm letting you know that I didn't steal any of your Avodah Zarah, and I'm giving you permission to search anything that you want, and wherever you find it, whoever has it, that Avodah Zarah won't stay alive. There's death on them. But we all know who took them. This is a horrible thing that happened. Essentially, Yaakov let out of his mouth that whoever has them will have to die, because he was certain that he didn't take them. Someone in his camp did, and it was his most beloved wife, Rachel. And Chazal says, from that same curse, Rachel died on the way to Bethlehem. Lavan starts to seek out in the tents of Yaakov, and after that in the tent of Leah, and after that in the tent of the maidservants. Right, that there are the majority of the children. And when he didn't find anything, he went to the tent of Rachel. And immediately Rachel sees this, and she takes Avodah Zarah, and she puts it underneath the pillow that she put on the back of the camel, and she sat on it. Lavan is seeking and searching throughout the whole entire tent, and he can't find it. And Rachel, in her wisdom, says sorry to her father that she's not getting up for his honor. Sorry I didn't stand up for you. Again, another rule. When your father or your mother comes around, you should stand up for them. You should give them utmost respect. She says, sorry, Abba, I can't get up off this pillow, off the camel. It's that time of the month, and it's not able. I'm not able to right now. And because of my tumah, I don't want to come close to anybody. Yaakov sees that Lavan is not stopping to search, and he knows that he didn't take anything. So he gets angry at Lavan and he asks him, what did I do? Why are you searching after me? Why are you coming after me? I didn't do anything. No one stole from you. You already looked through everything and you didn't find anything. And nothing here belongs to you. What are you doing? And if there's something that you're fearful of or you're suspecting me of, And let's talk it out. Let's talk it out and see. You think I stole from you? Say, tell me what it was. And the Avodah Zarah for sure I didn't take. Yaakov continues and he says, it's 20 years. 20 years that I'm working for you. None of your animals ever had any miscarriages. I didn't eat anything from your food, from your flock. And even when they died, by way of animals, I would even pay you for my own money. and if any of them were stolen, I would pay you for my own money. I took care of everything, day and night. In the day, I was burnt by way of the heat, and throughout the whole entire night, I was suffering by way of the cold. I had barely slept from such of responsibility and how much I took care of your flock. And Yaakov goes through and he explains all of the 20 years of his work. 7 years I worked for Rachel. 7 years I worked for Leah. 6 years I worked on your flock. And every single time, you would switch the conditions on me. If it wasn't for Hashem helping me, and he gave me the power to establish my own flock, my own farm, my own livestock, and to escape from you, you would have been sending me out empty-handed. You would have let me out of your house without anything, not even with the pay for my work. And what's the power, what's the proof to this? That Hashem revealed himself to you yesterday and told you not to mess with me. That just shows you that you're a bad person at your core, that Hashem had to come and tell you not to mess with me. And Laban answers to Yaakov. The daughters that you married, they're my daughters. And the children that were born out of those daughters, they're like my sons. And your flock is from my flock. Everything that you see comes from me. How could it be that I'm going to hurt you and your family? They came out of me. So let's make a brit, let's make a pact, a covenant between you and I. We'll take a stone and we'll make it as an altar. And Yaakov asks for his sons to gather stones. They make this gathering, this pound, this mountain or mound of rocks. And everybody, meaning Yaakov and Laban, give different names to this thing. Laban called it Yagar Sahaduta in Aramaic, and Yaakov called it Galaed. It's a gal, a bunch of rocks, and Ed, that is a testimony. It was a testifier. It was testimony, a testimony that there was a breach between them. And Laban continues and says, the fact that I said that Hashem will be a testifier or a witness between me and you, it's even when we don't see each other because of such distance. But Hashem sees us. Therefore, even if you afflict my daughters or any of the maidservants when you're far away, Hashem sees it. I don't see it, but Hashem sees it, and He'll be the witness between us. And also this pound of rocks, this matzevah, that we make it together, they're also witnesses that we won't do anything, that we never did anything bad to one another. Laban makes Yaakov take an oath on the God of Abraham and Nachor that they should judge between them. Yaakov takes the oath only in the name of his father Yitzchak to do everything. Straight away, Yaakov shechts, meaning slaughters some animals to prepare a meal, and he invites everybody that's there. From his side, from Laban's side, let's do a meal together. And they stay there to sleep on the mountain. Laban wakes up in the morning and separates from his daughters and his grandchildren with kisses and blessings, and he goes back to his place. Yaakov goes on his path, and all these angels that are from Eretz Yisrael leave Eretz Yisrael, go in now to gather him in and to escort him into the land. And when Yaakov sees these angels that came to escort him, he called the place Machanaim. Machane is a camp, meaning that there's two machanot, there's two camps here. One of Chutz Aretz, one of the land outside of the land of Israel. And they escorted him up until then. And now the second camp of angels, the camp of the land of Eretz Yisrael. There's a very interesting thing here that we have to mention from the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says that this brit between Yaakov and Lavan is the only brit that we have in the Torah of two people, the only covenant we have in the Torah of two people that are promising to not come together, that they're going to promise to separate from each other and make a covenant that they'll separate. And he says because each one has to act in the way that they're rooted up above spiritually. Yaakov is rooted in Kiddushah and holiness, and that's why he has to act that way. And Lavan is rooted in the Sitracha, in the Klipot, in the negative side, the evil side, so he has to act that way. And now they're making a breed that they're not allowed to come together. Meaning the Klipot, the negative forces of this world, are never able to look at the front side of the Kiddushah, of the holiness. They only see it from the back side. And here was, this was the breed, the covenant that they're making, that it would stay that way forever. And the Arizal explains that this is exactly why our bodily functions come out of our backside and not from our front side, because there are two different aspects. The front side is of holiness, that's how we interact with people, and the negative forces pull from the backside. This is why it's extremely important also to not leave anything negative inside of your body. If you ever feel a need to go, you have to go, because that is essentially the food and the sustenance of all the klipot and the negative forces in this world. A person leaves it inside of them, it can blemish their brain and their spirituality and their heart, and they have to get it out of their body. Another reason also to not spend too much time in the bathroom, and to make sure that when you get out of the bathroom, you wash your hands. Try not to wash your hands in the bathroom even. Get out of the bathroom, wash your hands there, because the bathroom itself is, so to say, a ma'on, this dwelling place of negative forces and negative energy. And they have a promise that they'll always be on the backside and they won't be able to nurse from the front side. Therefore, we have to purify our face to make sure our brain is in the side of the front side, by way of sanctifying our seven candles, like Rabbi Nachman teaches us in Torah 21. That is, that you want to stop telling lies out of your mouth. You want to have awe of Hashem, which is the aspect of the nose. You want to have good ears and listen to the words of the sages. And you also want to close your eyes from looking at negative things. When you do that, you put yourself in a stage of panim, of kedem. And then also the klipot can't have a grasp on you because they can't even look at you. This is the secret why Moshe Rabbeinu was buried outside of Beit Peor. At Peor, this horrible klipa, the Torah tells us that Moshe was buried right there. And any time this klipa comes and picks its head up and wants to say something or do something against Am Yisrael, it comes out and it sees the face of Moshe, it can't see it, it runs back inside of its place. You have to know, Kiddushah and sanctity and holiness and being face to face with Hashem is the number one way. The number one way to get rid of the negative forces in life that are coming against you. Shabbat Shalom.